Good morning. Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for another chance to come and hear your word. God, to come as a body of believers to worship and praise you, God. And we just thank you, for another day, God. And I just ask that your spirit will just guide and direct this time, Lord, that your truth will come, God, and that my words will be yours, Lord, and that nothing else will come. In your name we pray. Amen. So lately, God has really been speaking to me about his names. Actually, in Noah's Ark, the kids have been working through a series during their worship time called I Am. So I Am, and then they talk about different words that describe who God is. And it's something that I don't know where it came from, but this summer when I was praying about what we should do with the kids, something a little different, because we've been following the same theme as the church doing the Sermon on the Mount. But I decided to veer differently, and just the I Am came to me. And so when I was told I was going to be preparing today's talk, the names of God really came back to me as well. And so names are incredibly important. And when naming a child, I've noticed there seems to be, at least in my perspective, two types of people when they name their child. The ones who are looking for that fun, cute, current name, and the ones who are taking incredibly seriously, okay, maybe the other side is taking it seriously too, not in my perspective always. The other ones who are really looking for the special meaning or a person to name their child after, right? And we see in Hollywood, you have actors who name their child Apple. We've also, one I looked up yesterday was one that I hadn't heard of, but thought was very interesting, was Rocket Zot. And these are names, as a former teacher, I'm like, I just couldn't say these names in the class without laughing, most likely. But I also look at my cousin, and I looked up the name of his daughter, and it does have some good meanings, but he named his daughter Tyranny. And as a former history teacher, I go to the phrase tyrant, and these are not things I would want to name my child. Now, we look at the other side, and we do know people understand and think about the long-term implications when naming a child. I think of my sister. My sister takes naming her children incredibly seriously, and she has three currently and pregnant with number four, and each of her kids' names are named after one of us. So one of her siblings, her aunts, uncles, somebody in the family. And so her current three children, the first one is James Anthony, and James is named after my dad, my brother, and his great uncle, who all have the name James. Anthony is named after my other brother and my uncle who passed away. Her next child, Elizabeth Marie, Elizabeth's named after her dad's twin sister who passed away, and then Marie, the poor thing, has three aunts with all the same meaning of a name. And so she got all three of her aunts in one go into one name. And then Arabella Louise is named after my sister herself, just flipping names around. And her fourth child, she's already looking, okay, if it's a boy, I want to name after this person. If it's a girl, I want to name after this person. And so everything is about a person, someone she loves, someone who has an important part, and part of their character she wants to place onto her child. So names are so important that actually, even my dad was not a disciplinarian. He was not a rule giver. In fact, we could do anything we wanted. He didn't care. But he gave us two rules in life, and only two rules. One, never ride on a motorcycle. He was an ER doctor, and he was like their organ donors, and so he banned us from ever riding on a motorcycle. And the other one is, make sure you name your child something I can pronounce. So when you think of all the rules fathers give out, motorcycles make sense, maybe names, but if these are the only two, these are probably not the two you're going to give. But the name one was very important to him. When God gives people a name, he also had a purpose with that name. That name means something about who they are, what he has called them to be. It could be a new identity. If you look at Abram to Abraham, the name doesn't actually have a major change in meaning. Abram means high father, where Abraham means father of multitude. So both incorporating the father aspect of who Abraham was to become. So why did God give him a name change? Different theologians have different viewpoints on that. Some think it's actually not as big of a deal as we like to make it out to be. But I think personally that God was noting, even though it seems like a small change, this small change would have a drastic impact in the world to come. So even it's just changing a couple letters, Abraham's destiny was being shaped by God into something. He wasn't just going to be a high father to his own children. So many children were going to come after that, and God wanted to put a new name on Abraham. Another name change that takes in the Bible is Naomi to Mara. Mara meaning bitter. But you'll notice in the book of Ruth, God never refers to her as this. The Bible notes that she called herself that, but the scripture continues to refer to her as Naomi. Naomi means pleasantness. God never looked at her, or at least she's not remembered as being bitter. I'm sure God recognized it, but when God looked at her, the name he wanted to give her was the way he saw her. God saw her true identity, even though she didn't see it in herself. And just like that, God also sees our true identity and who we really are. So then why is it important for us to know and recognize God's name? God's name reveals to us who he is, his character, and shows us what he is not as well. John Piper says this, when he names himself, we may be sure the name is packed with who he is and what he intends to do. God does not choose names for himself at random, say for the sound or for an ancestor or to avoid embarrassing nicknames. And I'm sure many of us have had embarrassing nicknames. He chooses names for the sake of revealing things about himself that will deepen our love for him and enlarge our admiration and strength of faith. So when we look at the very first time in Scripture when God reveals to us who he is, his name, we see this in Exodus 3. So if you want to turn to Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15, and I'm sure most of us are very familiar with this text. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. John Piper continues to say, the most common and the most important name of God in the Old Testament is a name that in our English versions never even gets translated. Whenever you see the word L-O-R-D capitalized, Lord, you know that that is the name behind it. In Hebrew, the name had four letters, Y-H-W-H, and may have been pronounced something like Yahweh. The Jews came to regard this word with such reverence that they would never take it upon their lips, lest they inadvertently take the name in vain. You know, I notice personally that a lot of us freely, and I know that scripturally we've talked about how taking the Lord's name in vain is most likely meaning how we give God credit for something he did not do. We blame God for something. But I do notice, and myself included, that in today's culture, we will say OMG, oh my God, all this so flippantly that the name God really hasn't, we don't stop to think what we're doing, right? It's just so part of our vernacular that we don't realize that God's name is so powerful and we just flippantly say it. Myself included, that we forget who we're referring to and who, even if we don't mean it in our heart, when an incident happens and we say it, we're giving God blame or credit. And we should need to be very careful about that. And it was so important to the Jewish people that they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't pronounce it. And that's why we think it was pronounced something like Yahweh, but there's no way of really knowing. And so even in the English pattern, we don't have a word for per se, and we just say Lord, capital L-O-R-D. For the proper name of Yahweh. So what does it mean when you ask God, who are you? And he answers, I am who I am. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone came to my house for the first time for like a dinner or I walked into a meeting and someone introduced themselves as I am who I am, I'd probably be like, what is going on? This is not a name. This is not even a description. It's slightly, maybe even a possibility of a little arrogance. But we notice in Moses, he actually knows who God is. God doesn't have to prove himself to Moses. I mean, there's a bush on fire that's not actually on fire. So he has this tangible sign. But Moses knows who God is when he says, I am who I am. This also is very interesting, though. Moses doesn't fully just 100% go out and follow God either when God reveals his name. Because when God says, go tell Moses, let my people go, he goes, I can't speak. I can't talk in public. I can't. And so God, being merciful, sends his brother Aaron to help him with that. And Moses' faith continues to grow beyond that. But by God revealing himself as the great I am, as Yahweh, or I am who I am, he's revealing the part of himself that comes down to dwell among his people. I am who I am also leaves the space for God to describe himself. God gets to fill in the pictures of who he is. When I was a teacher, I taught CE, and a lot of kids were Christian ethics. And a lot of kids, the middle schoolers would be like, okay, but who is God? What does I am who I am mean? And I would say, I am who I am leaves room for God to fill in that blank. That blank of that character of who he is. Now, it wasn't for us to fill in, but God was able to, by using that name, I am who I am, continually reveal who his character is that a singular name would not have been able to do. Now, whereas parents or possibly even teachers give us our names, we rarely get to name ourselves. And even if we do, someone else usually has given us a name first. I have not met a single person who named themselves, at least not the first time. Another option would be a judge can change your name, right? Even as an adult, if you want to change your name, you actually have to go through a legal process. My mom changed her name when she became a U.S. citizen, but a judge had to give her that right. She didn't have that right just to go and do it. Someone had to authorize it. But God, who is all powerful, got to name himself. By doing that, he reveals his true identity. And this is important because only God has that right. Only God gets to tell us who he is, what his name means, to define himself, not us, not the world. Lately, something that's been bothering me, the world, is when I hear the phrase, how can a loving God, ... Or I can't believe in a God because ... See, we have decided to define love, and yet God says he is love. That is part of his name. And when we decide to tell people that we can't believe in God because he doesn't portray what we define love as, we've created the standard of what love is, and yet God is the standard of love. God's name reveals that he's the one who shows the world what true love is. And by God revealing his name, by sharing throughout time his different names, we then can see who he is and who we are in him. If we go back to Psalm 9, we get another picture of God revealing himself through David's words. Psalm 9, verse 7 through 10 goes, but the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness, and he will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. What we see is, I am who I am abides forever. He judges in righteousness. He is a stronghold for the oppressed in times of trouble. He will not forsake those who seek him. One name would not give us that picture of God. When we are struggling to know God, who God is, we need to look to his names. His name revealed to us his goodness that he is. A family friend of mine, who was actually my children's pastor growing up, wrote a book called The Names of God. And there's actually a previous book, but I think this is just a rewritten version of that same book. And so, and her name is also Mary, interestingly enough. And she was the first person that said that I would be doing this sort of job when I was young. So maybe there's something in names. But she says this, the minute we have the audacity to think we understand God brings to mind another name, equally true, but which seems to shatter the mold into which we have just tried to cram our very great God. God has names like the beginning and the end, the Lord and a servant. God goes beyond our comprehension, and yet God reveals to us that he is our provider, our stronghold, our savior, our light. God never changes, but he can be different things to us in our different times of need. He's the same God, but he may reveal to us something we need for that moment. And so verse 10 again, and those who know your name put their trust in you. Now, if you look throughout the Bible, God did not in the very first chapter reveal his entirety, right? He could have in the very first chapter of Genesis go, instead of saying in the beginning, he could have go, I am, and then list out who he is. But God chooses to reveal himself throughout Scripture, from the beginning of Scripture till the end, revealing bits and pieces. And I think that also reveals to us that God isn't necessarily going to reveal all of him to us at once. He'll reveal to us what we need for that time. This doesn't change who God is. This doesn't change the true identity of him. But it shows us his grace and mercy in our lives that we probably can't handle all of who God is at once. We can't fully grasp the entirety of who he is. And so God in his graciousness knew this and slowly reveals himself to the Israelites, what they need to know about him in different times. We see in Jesus says, I am the Word. He comes out in John saying, I am the Word. He was in the beginning. He is the light. He is the way. And we can see that we didn't know this about Jesus in Genesis 1. We find this in John. And so today, I want us to really think about knowing God, putting our trust in God, and what is it that we need God today for? What name in the Scriptures do we need God in our individual lives? Maybe you need a provider, someone to take care of all your needs, or maybe you are struggling with a loss of a friend, a dream, a job, and you need God to be your comforter. So I'm going to ask Sarah to come up. I just want us to spend some time praying to God and asking God to reveal to us who he is. Who do we need today? This doesn't mean God is something different than he was yesterday. He's exactly the same. But he can reveal a different part of us, a different part of himself to us in our different needs and different times. So just spend time asking God, what is it that he's revealing to you today about him?
Thank you.
This morning, I feel like God just wants us to be reminded of who He is. And when we truly know Him, we can put our trust in Him. And that if you're struggling to put your trust in God, go back to who He is. Go back to who He describes Himself as, not how you describe Him. Not how your friends describe Him, not how I describe Him, but how He describes Himself. What do those words say? Yes, they do have words like our judge, but there's words like our Savior, our Comforter, light. Go back to the Word and ask God who He truly is. Ask Him to define Himself. Put away what you've thought of Him and just allow the Spirit just to really open your heart to see God's trueness. And when we do that, we can follow Him anywhere. We can follow Him to do anything, and we do not have to have any fear. So God, we just thank You for that. We thank You that You have allowed us to put our trust in You, that You reveal Yourself. You're not a hidden God. You are a God that is open. You are a God that wants us to see You, that You want us to know who You truly are, and that we are not left in the dark wondering, but yet You choose to reveal Yourself daily to us in many different ways. Father God, we just thank You for that. So if we can turn to our screens, and let's first lift up our community of people who are battling cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for their healing. Let's pray for the doctors. Let's pray for their family, and that just God will just be their healer. Let's pray for those in our congregations, friends and families who are sick but also need salvation. We'll just pray that God will be their Savior. We'll pray that God will bring them healing and that in their salvation they will find their true healing in reconnection to God. Also just pray for their family and friends who are praying for them and walking alongside during this time with them. Let's pray for those in our congregation who have various infirmities, that God will bring healing to them, that God will bring them peace as they wait for this healing, and that they will just have faith arise as God is with them. Pray for those who are seeking jobs, that God will be working in this season, that God will be showing them the next steps, and that God will bring them to the right job in the right timing. Let's also just pray against any reasons that jobs aren't coming, that if the enemy is trying to hold jobs back, that it'll be released, and that God will just really be on our side and fight for us for new jobs. Let's go to our Thursday mission prayers. Let's first pray for our mission focus Singapore, SP Singapore, with P. Sam Kim and Annie and their children. Really just pray for God's protection as they're about to, in the next few weeks, have their fifth child, and that God will just really protect their family, just build them stronger, protect the church, and just continue to grow there. Also pray for our Indonesian ministry here, Spin with Peace Salamat and his family, that God will really just bring them closer together as a family, and that he will release his plan and his mission for this church here in Indonesia as it spreads back to Indonesia. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP, the Well and River. Let's pray for Matt, P. Ricky, and Rachel as they lead these ministries, that they'll hear from God where to take them, what to do next. Pray for the people who come to these different ministries, and that God will just bring them true healing and release. Pray for all of our lay people who are serving in these ministries as well, that God will continue to work through them and that God will be the one at work. Let's pray for our education ministries, on Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU, with myself and Ealing, P. Nate, and P. Andrew. May, especially for those who are moving, there's no one moving from Noah's Ark out this year, but just pray for our SP Youth kids moving into university and our SPU kids who are moving into the real world, to jobs, that God will transition them well. And just pray for just wisdom as new years are starting, more teachers, new kids, and just that there'll be a cohesive unit in all of these ministries. Pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homey Outreach, just that God's light will shine in the city, that people will find freedom in him, and that those who are serving will just really just have God's strength. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit will just guide them and just fill them up. Pray for our SPLI class tonight, Israel and the Middle East. Just pray that Rebecca will be able to just speak clearly, and that she'll just be able to relay the message of what's going on there and just God's heart for those that people there. And just that, yeah, that'll be a great class where a lot of learning will take place. Pray for our two mission trips that are taking place this week, Kyoto. They will be finishing up this Saturday. That's being led by Tim and P. Ricky. And then Shanghai, which will they'll be coming back this Sunday. That's being led by P. Andrew and P. Nate. Let's just pray that God will just really use our teams to humbly serve him in Kyoto and Shanghai, and that people will be drawn to our people because God's living in them. And that that the light will just be in Shanghai and Kyoto. Thank you. So God, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for what is to come, Lord. We just ask for your strength for today, Lord, that we just ask for what we need for today, God, your provisions for today, Lord. And we just ask that your spirit will just connect to our spirits, Lord, that your spirit will connect to our minds, and that we will just follow you today, God. And we just thank you that we have this chance to have today, Lord. And so we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Enjoy your day and just continue worshiping and praying to God.